Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The actual Shiur will begin from the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis. Kayotzebo Rotseach Shegolo Liir Mikloto. A murderer who ran for refuge to his Ir Miklot, V'rotzu Anshe Ir L'chabdo, and the people of that community wanted to honor him, wanted to offer him a position of respect, etc. Yomar Lohem, he is to inform them, Rotzeach Ani, I'm a murderer. In other words, I committed murder, albeit inadvertently, but nevertheless, the fact that someone died at my hands, that is reason enough for me not to receive honors. Omrulo, the residents, the citizenry said back to him, Afopikain, even so, we want to honor you. Yekabel mehem, he's entitled to accept from them the honors. Shneemar v'zeh dvar harotzeach. The Pasuk indicates that this is the words of the Rotzeach. He has to indicate that he is not worthy of the honors, and that is all he's obligated to do. Beyond that, if they want to honor him, they may. The Mishnah turns to a new subject. This has to do with the issue of rent and fees that the Rotzeach might have to pay. Malim hoyus char leLevim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Levim were the owners of the Orei Miklat. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Rotzchim have to pay the Levim for their living expenses. The Rashi cites they have to pay them rent money. Rabbi Meir Omer, lo hayu malim lohen schar. Rabbi Meir disagrees, indicating they don't have to pay rent. V'chozer l'sroro shohaya bo, divrei Rabbi Meir. When the Kohen Gadol dies, and the Rotzeach is thereby released from his obligation to be in the Ir Miklat, he is able to go back to his original position of power, Srora being an officer, a Nosi, a Rosh Av based in, he can go back to his original status, even high status, as he was before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo hoya chozer l'srora shehoya ba. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's not allowed to go back to his original high position. As we go on in the Gemara, we take note of the geometric forms. The volcano, or trapezoid, however you wish to refer to this, is explained in the margin under the heading Mivneh. The explanation is Machloikis Amoroyim, an Amoraic controversy, Eich Lahamid Machloikis Hatanoyim Be'inin Halos Char. The controversy surrounds how to set up the Tanaic controversy that we saw in the Mishnah regarding rent payment. We'll continue reading that comment. Be'inyan haloschar la'orei miklot he'orim mischalkim l'sheish v'arboi mishtayim. It's noteworthy that the cities of refuge divide into groups of 6 and an additional 42. We've employed a squiggle underline to highlight the word machlokes. Machlokes hatanoim be'ezu me'orim mishalmim. We'll see the machlokes concerning which cities, in which cities, the basic 6 or the additional 42, is there a need to pay? and we'll use a double underline when the expression divrei hakol appears, where there's agreement. So all of this is subject to a machlokes amoraim. Omar Rav Kahana, the Gemara continues, machlokes regarding the need to pay rent, where Rabbi Yehuda says they pay and Rabbi Meir says no, that's b'sheish. That's regarding the basic six cities that are enumerated by name in the Torah. Demor Sovar, Lochem. The Pasuk uses the expression that the cities are given to you. Rashi says, Rashi quotes a Pasuk, V'hoyu Lochem He'orim Lemiklat. Lochem means Leklita, for refuge. Umor Sovar, Lochem equals Lechol Tzorchechem, for all of your needs. So according to the first Mor Sovar, it's there for only for refuge, but they have to pay. It's given to them for refuge alone. That would be Rabbi Yehuda. According to the second approach, Mor Sovar, Lochem equals Lechol Tzorchechem, it's for you, for all of your needs. That means you don't have to pay. It's yours for refuge and everything else, meaning for your thereby freeing you from needing to pay. That's Rabbi Meir. Avol Barboim Ushtayim, but as far as the other 42 cities, Divrakol Hoyu Malin Lohem Schar. If the Rotzech runs to one of them, everyone agrees, according to Rav Kahana, everyone means even Rabbi Meir agrees that they will have to pay rent money. Before we go further, let's just take note of a couple of psukim. We've included these psukim in the margin. The pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yud Bei, says, V'hoyu lochem he'arim lemiklot, migoyel v'lo yomus ha-rotzeach ad omdo lifnei ho'ido lemishpot. V'ha'orim asher titenu sheish orim miklot yena lochem. There's an earlier pasuk vav, that says v'es ha'orim asher titenu lalavim es sheish orei hamiklot asher titenu lanus shomah rotzeach v'aleihem titenu arboim ushtaim ir, meaning in addition to the basic six there's another 42 that are provided. Going back to the Gemara, Amale Rava, Ho Vadai Lochem Lochol Tzorchechem Mashma. Rava takes it as a matter of fact, as a matter that's obvious, that Lochem means for all of your needs. And regarding the basic six cities, there should be no need, according to anybody, to have to pay. Ela Omar Rava, Machlokes Barboim Ushtayim. If there's any controversy, the controversy is going to surround the 42 cities. The Mor Sovar V'aleihem Titnu, which was in Pasuk Vav, Ki Hanoch L'Klita. They are given, the 42 cities are given to them as cities of refuge, for refuge purposes alone. Mor Sovar V'aleihem Titnu, they are given in addition to the basic six, Ki Hanoch, just like the basic six. Ma Hanoch L'Chol Tzorchechem, just like the basic six are for all your needs, meaning they're given to the murderers for all of their needs, and hence they don't have to pay. Af haninami, so too the 42, lechol tzorchechem. Avol b'sheish, but as far as the basic six, where the word lochem appears in their context, divrei hakol lo hoyu malim lohem schar. Everyone will be in agreement that there is no need to pay rent. Chozer l'sroro shehoya ba, Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk that opens up this source deals with the topic of Eved Ivri when he goes out of his forced bondage. The Eved Ivri is a person that was committed a crime of theft and didn't have the wherewithal to pay, so he sold to the party from whom he stole the items. He sold into a form of forced labor for a period of 6 years, or if he decides to stay till the Yovel, till a total of more maximum amount of time of 50 years, At which time, after the period of time of forced labor finishes, he goes free. What happens when he goes free? So the pasuk says, "Vishov el mishpachtoi vel achuzas avoisov yoshuv." The first opinion says, "L'mishpachto hushov v'eino shov l'ma shechziku avoisov." Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He goes back to his family. The pasuk says, but he doesn't go back. But the inference is that he doesn't go back to offices that his forefathers occupied. In other words, if his father occupied a certain position of importance that he would have acquired as well, since he is leaving a state of forced labor, he does not get that position. Rabbi Meir Omer, af hu shov l'mashich ziku avoisov. Rabbi Meir says that when he goes free and receives that position of authority of power as well. Pasuk says, El achuzas avoisov, ke avoisov. Rashi points out that this part of the Brisa, El achuzas avoisov, seifa de milseg de Rabbi Meir hi. This is the end of Rabbi Meir's comment. Umevi raya lidvarov, misofa mikro, shechozer ligudulaso. From this pasuk, when it says, El achuzas avoisov, he goes back to his forefather's holdings, it would seem to bring proof to Rabbi Meir's position that he goes back to their holdings. As Rashi says, Shenemar velachuzas avosov, as kol cheskas avosov, he gets everything that his fathers had occupied. V'chein begoyla, Shenemar yoshuv, l'rabois es horoitzeach. The word yoshuv appears in the pasuk, and it is viewed as an extra expression. This comes to include the rotzeach, as will be explained momentarily. The truth is that this expression is what's that is germane to our sugya, the issue of the rotzeach upon the death of the Kohen Gadol. What happens as far as offices are concerned? Does he go back to original positions of authority that he may have occupied? So the Gemara here clarifies, my v'chein begola, what is meant by that expression? Kidesanya, the pasuk says, Yoshuv horotzeach el eretz achuzaso. This is a pasuk by the Ir Miklat. The rotzeach goes back to eretz achuzaso. The eretz achuzaso hu shov, enu shov the mashiach ziku avois of divrei Bihuda. He goes back to the land that his fathers had occupied, but he doesn't go to the offices that they occupied. Rabbi Meir Omer, af hu shav l'mashich ziku avosov. Rabbi Meir, as we saw above, claims that he goes back to the offices that his forefathers occupied as well. And how does he know that? How does Rabbi Meir know this? Gomar shiva shiva mehasam. He learns a gezerah shava from the word yoshuv that appears both in the context of the Eved Ivri. We saw the pasuk at the beginning of the previous brisa where it said v'shava mishpachto v'elachuzas avoisov yoshuv. That was an extra expression, and that extra expression is available for making this particular gezerah shava with the word yoshuv that appears in the case of the rotzeach as well. And that's what's meant by shiva. Shiva, the extra expression, enables us, as we just said, to make the gzeirah shava. And just like Rabbi Meir felt that in the case of the Eved Ivri, he goes back to his forefathers' positions of authority, so too in the case of the rotzeach that leaves the Ir Miklat. With that, we end the first perek and the second perek, and now begin the third perek. Before we begin, let us take note of the introductory note, the nosei, that appears in the margin. Rishima chelkit, a partial list, ayin rashi di b'masal eluhin, shel haloikin, those that receive lashes. So we're going to see in this Mishnah quite a few examples, but they don't represent all the examples of the Torah, as far as those who receive lashings. The first section of the Mishnah is going to list a number of forbidden relatives. Forbidden relatives, hence forbidden relations, forbidden to have intimacy with them. And if one does, so he will be subject to lashings if he was warned beforehand that for doing such a thing he will get lashings. In the absence of such a warning, let us note, in anticipation of the Gemara, these are relations that are not punishable by court execution. Even though they're forbidden, they're called arayas. Nevertheless, these arayas that will be featured in the Mishnah, for the most part, they are punishable by kores and not misas beis din. Well, the Gemara will get the impression that this Mishnah holds that malchus could be given to someone who is chayav kores. Kores is a punishment, a heavenly ordained punishment where a person is cut off. That kores means literally cut off. One opinion is that he dies young, he dies prematurely, he doesn't live out his full life. But the Mishnah does not include examples of people that, if warned, would get a punishment of a court execution, man-induced death through the court. The Elu Hein Haloikin, the Mishnah continues, Havo al Achoso, V'al Achos Oviv, V'al Achos Imo, V'al Achos Ishto, V'al Eishes Ochiv, one who has relations with his, so far we've seen his own sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister, his wife's sister, Eishes Ochiv, his brother's wife, V'al Eishes Achi Oviv, or one's father's brother's wife, V'al Hanida, Almona L'Koyin Godol, a widow that marries a Koyin Godol, Grusha V'chutza L'Koyin Hedyo, a divorced woman or a chalutza that marries a Koyin Hedyot, Mamzeres Unasino L'Yisrael, Bas Yisrael Unasino L'Mamzer, Almona Ugrusha, a woman who has both Shemos on her, she's both an Almona and a Grusha, in other words, she became a widow upon the death of her first husband, and married a second husband, and he divorced her. So this woman carries with her two categories. So a Koyen Gadol that would have relations with her, Chayavin Olel Mishum Shtei Shemos, he would be guilty of both offenses of Almona, because this woman is both an Almona and a Grusha. Grusha v'chalutza eino Chayav Elo Mishum Achas Bilvad. However, a woman who was divorced and also participated in Chalitza, since Chalitza, the prohibition of a Koyen with a Chalutza is Derabbanan, there would be only one set of lashes for such a woman who carries both of these names. Hatomei she'ochalas ha'kodesh, person who was ritually impure that consumed sacrifices. V'habo el ha'mikdash tomei, one who entered the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity. V'oichel, we now see a list of things for which malchus would be given because of eating the consummation of them. Chelev, Vidam, Venosar. Nosar is leftover korban meat, upigul. That's a korban that was slaughtered, or we'll say processed with improper kavonos with regard to time. Vitomei, the hashochet umale b'chutz, one who slaughters and offers sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'oichel chometz b'pesach. V'oichel v'oisa melocha b'yom ha'kipurim. V'ha mefatim es ha-shemen v'ha mefatim es ha-kturis, one who prepares the anointing oil, and one who prepares the Beis HaMikdash, the temple incense. V'asoch b'shemen ha-mishcha, one who smears on himself the temple anointing oil. V'oichel nevelus u'trefus shkotzim r'mosim, one who consumes these forbidden types of food. Ochal tevel u'maiserishin shelo nitlo trumaso, one who eats untithed produce, or he eats, both of these are actually examples of untithed produce. Tevel is completely untithed. Maiserishin shelo nitlo trumaso is the Levi tithe from which he did not remove yet the trumas maiser, the tithe from the Levi to the Kohen. U'maiser sheni v'hegde shelo niftu. Likewise, if one eats Maiser Sheni fruits outside of Yerushalayim, prior to their redemption, and Hegdish as well, that was not redeemed, also results in lashes. How much does one need to eat from the untithed produce in order to be guilty of lashes? Rabbi Shimon Omer Kolshu, even a single kernel of wheat would result in it. Kolshu, any amount, a very small amount. V'chachomim Omerim Kizayis, has to be the size of an olive. The amount of grains that he would eat, a singular grain, would not be sufficient, according to Chachomim, to obligate or to condemn him to receiving malchus. Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who was who favored the position of a kolshu amount, he says, "I atem moidim li boichel namola kolshu shehu chayev." Are you not in agreement with me that if someone would eat an ant, no matter what its size, he would eat a complete ant, even though it's much, much smaller than a kezias, that he would be guilty? Amulo. So the Rabbanan answered, "Neshehi kibriyosa," that even though it's lacking a quantity, a size, it's kibriyosa, it's a complete living entity, a complete organism. And that's what is the reason for him to receive malchus in the event he consumes a nemola. Amar lohen, Rabbi. So the Rabbi Shimon responds, "Af chito achas kibriyosa." So too, a complete single grain of wheat is a briyosa, is a complete entity, and based on that, it should warrant malchus. The Gemara opens up with that which we observed as by way of introduction. Chayve krisus kotani, chayve misos bezdin lo kotani. The Mishnah features examples of forbidden relations and other examples that were found in the Mishnah that fall under the kores category. That if one does it in a knowledgeable state of mind, he would be chayev kores by heaven. Those kinds of offenses are taught. However, those kinds of offenses that are chayve misos bezdin, that if done with proper warning, that would eventually result in a court execution, lo kotani, those kind of offenses don't appear in the Mishnah at all. Masnisin money. So our Mishnah is according to whom? Rabbi Akiva hi. Our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Akiva's point of view. Desanya. The Tanaic source begins, Echad chayve krisus v'echad chayve misos bezdin. Whether it be a category of offense called chayve krisus or those offenses that are punishable by court execution, yeshno bichlal malchus arboim, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says they are included in the potential for receiving lashes as well. What do we mean by that? So it depends, of course, on the way the warning was stated to the offender, but for our purposes right now, let us suffice with saying that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, offenses that are worthy of court execution have a potential for receiving lashing. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayvei Krisus Yeshno Bichal Malchus Arboim, Shim Osu Tshuva Bezdin Shemala Mochalin Lahen. Rabbi Meir divides the categories and says they are not the same. He says the chayve krisus could result in malchus. And why is that? Because the kores is not an absolute, it's not an absolute. And what do we mean by that? The source says that if the fellow would do penitence, he could rescind the kores from upon him, and therefore there's room, so to speak, for malchus to be applicable. However, chayve misos based in eino bichlal malchus arboim. Why is that? Shim osu tshuva, if people who are guilty of court execution, if they attempt to do penitence, ein bezin shalmata mochalin lo. The terrestrial court has no license to forgive him. And as a result of that, Rabbi Akiva feels that since in the case of chayve misos bezdin, the nature of that punishment of misos bezdin, since its nature is one of inevitability, therefore there's no room for the malchus penalty to take place. This will be explained further in the Gemara, though. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, a third opinion says, Chayvei Krisus Bichlal Hoyu, Chayvei Krisus were included in the general scheme of things. Namely, if a Chayvei Krisus received warning that someone who commits such an offense, in other words, or for example, if someone were warned that if he eats on Yom Kippur, he will be Chayev Malkus. So they were originally part of the category of those kinds of offenses that would have received Malkus. However, V'lomo yotzos kores b'achoso, why is the relationship with sister, the pasuk that deals with relationship, with intimacy with sister, features the kores punishment? Why is it necessary for kores to be singled out in the case of sister, when we know that kores is applicable to all of the forbidden relatives? There's a general pasuk that says that anyone who practices any of these abominations, these forbidden incestuous relations, will be guilty of kores. So why did the pasuk single it out in the case of achoso? So Rabbi Yitzchak answers, Ladunu b'kores v'lo b'malkus, to establish a rule that things that are punishable by kores get kores only and cannot get malkus. So we've seen three opinions with regard to chayvei krisus and the possibility of their receiving malkus. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva were in agreement that chayvei krisus could receive malkus. They were in disagreement concerning the misas based in. Those kind of offenses, could they get malkus? Rabbi Yitzchak comes in saying that chayvei krisus cannot receive malkus. At this point in the Gemara, let us glance at the title that we've assigned to the sugya, the nosei, machlokes tanoim im shayach malkus b'chayvei misas beisdin. We saw machlokes tanoim regarding that issue. Though chayvei misas beisdin, people that are guilty of court execution, could they receive, in potential, could they receive malkus? The mivneh, that's the structural note that comes to highlight that which we're going to see now in the Gemara. We see a diamond featured on the side, havlotas deos tanoim. We're going to be highlighting the names of tanoim, benosei malkus, laveros shechayovos b'koreis v'misas beisdin. In the context of the of those offenses that otherwise would be chayev kores or misas based in. It's noteworthy, by way of the diamond marking, to take note that it continues, the diamonds continue to appear to on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph as well. The fourth line from the top, we have a quote from the source we just read, where Reb Yitzchak appears. And since he's one of the opinions, he will be featured and explained later on Daf Yud Dalet. Continuing in the Gemara, my time out to Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason behind his opinion that says that Chayvei Misas Besen could receive Malkus as well? Dichtiv, im lo tishmor lasois es kol divrei hatur hazos. This pasuk says that mentions the need to keep all of the Torah, and if one doesn't keep all of the Torah, the pasuk says afterwards, v'uksiv v'hiflo Hashem es makoischa. The word was used, v'hiflo, and the Gemara says, haflo zu eini yodea mahi. I don't know what the meaning of that word is. Kishu omer v'hipilu hashoifer v'hikol lefonav. When the Torah says, in another context, this expression, the pilu hashofet, the hikol lefonav, and the judge will order a person to be lashed. Hevei omer hafla zu malkus hi. So through word comparison or word identification, we understand that the hifla means lashings. Uksiv im lo tishmor lasos es kol v'chulei. And the pasuk that the Gemara opened up with in this section regarding Rabbi Shmuel, it said that if one doesn't keep all of the Torah, and then right after that it says V'hitlo Hashem, that means for all of the Torah, there is a potential for receiving malchus, including offenses that would result in court execution. Ihachi, if that be the case, if it be the case that all of the Torah is included, then chayve asei nami, someone who violates a positive command, should also be chayev malchus. For example, an example of a positive command would be to, one should put on tefillin. If one doesn't put on the tefillin, he should be chayev malchus because of this juxtaposition of verses im lo tishmor. Lasis is called Torazos, and followed by an indication of receiving lashes. So the Gemara answers Imloi Tishmor Ksiv. The Pasuk uses the word Tishmor, and from this we will derive that the Torah here is warning against the violation of negative commands, not Chayve Asei. The expression that we dashed underline for emphasis purposes of the word Tishmor, Uchida Rebbe Ovin Amar Rabbi Loi, and according to his teaching, the Amar Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Loi, he says that Komokom Shenemar Hishomer Pen Val, wherever you see one of these words in the Torah, we've dashed underline the word Hishomer, Eino Ela Loisase, it's conveying the intention of a negative precept. Therefore, the Pasuk that opened up this section, Im lo tishmor lasos, is a reference to the violation of negative precepts. Only those would result in lashing. Ihachi, if that be the case, then what about other types of negative precepts that we know do not receive lashing? Lav she'en bo maisa nami. According to what we have understood till now then, a passive violation of a negative precept should also result in malchus, and we're working with the assumption that it does not. So the Gemara answers, la'asos ksiv. This very pasuk uses the word action in it, la'asos, so that the only time malchus would be warranted would be the violation of a negative precept that involves action. Another question though, lav shenitak la'asei nami, what about a negative precept that in the Torah, following it, there appears a positive command? So what about that type of offense? Lav shenitak lasei nami. Well, we know it doesn't receive malchus, but according to the rules that we have been establishing, it should. So the Gemara answers that in the final analysis, in order to warrant lashing for a negative command, it has to follow the archetype of negative commands, dumya de lav de chasima. It is expected to parallel the negative prohibition of muzzling up an animal. And you'll ask, what's the significance of that particular prohibition? By the way, muzzling up an animal means muzzling up an animal while it's threshing grain. The Torah forbids that. The Torah wants to enable the animal to have access to the grains for eating while it's working on them, while it's threshing them. And it's noteworthy that pasuk lo sachsom shor b'disho, thou shalt not muzzle up the ox while it is threshing, is in the proximity of psukim that deal with malchus. Therefore, a lav shenitak la'asei is a type of lav that is not like lav de chasima, it's not like the muzzling prohibition. In that case, there is no positive command that follows it. However, a lav that does have a positive command following it would not be subject to malchus, because it's unlike the lav de chasima. Hashta de osus lochi, now that we've brought this into the picture, namely the lav de chasima, kulhu nami dumya de lav de chasima. All of the other objections that we raised before wouldn't conform to lav de chasima. Hence, that it would be sufficient for explaining why, for example, a lav she'en bo maisa is exempt from malchus, because a lav she'en bo maisa is unlike lav de chasima. Chasima is an action. Rabbi Kiva Maitaima, why does he say that there's no malchus on offenses that are misos based in? Answer. Kedei Rishosoi. Mishum risho achas ato mechaivo v'ato mechaivo mishum shtei rishoyos. That in order to the Torah is saying one can be guilty of one punishment and not of two. In other words, in any given offense, we can give him only one punishment and not two. As a result of that, if a person is guilty of chayve misos based in, so it's misos besin that he receives, not lashing. For Rabbi Shmuel, what is his response to that? What does he do with the kedei rishoso? Because after all, Rabbi Shmuel suggested that there is a potential in the case of a misos besin for malchus as well. So he says, Hani mili, when is it that we say risho achas, one punishment? That's when you're dealing with the following examples. Misa umamon oi malkos umamon, where a person is guilty of one on the body and one in the pocket, so to speak. The pocket being cash or money, an obligation to pay. So when you have misa umamon, there we say only one. You don't hit up his body and his pocket as well. Or malchus umamon, a type of offense that carried with it malchus and the need to pay for whatever was damaged in the process of his violating the offense. An example might be someone eats someone else's piece of pork, so he has to. There's a financial problem in having taken someone else's meat. And the malchus for is consuming forbidden food. Avol, misa o malchus, but with regard to court execution and lashings, the way Rabbi Shmuel views the lashings is misa arichtohi. It's in effect a long death. In other words, the lashings are a bodily affliction, namely his body is beaten, and that's similar to death, which is we'll call a more extreme form of the same thing, of a bodily punishment. Now, the Gemara turns to Rabbi Akiva and raises an issue. Ula Rabbi Akiva, I hachi, if it be so that you exclude malchus from the realm of court executions based on the idea of risho achas, then chayve krisus nami, with regard to chayve krisus as well, you should argue the same thing, that there should be no malchus. My amris, what are you going to say as a reason for there to be malchus? Shim osu tshuva, because if he were to repent, if the chayve krisus would repent, there would be no kores and there would be only one punishment. Well, but hashto mihas lo avdi. But right now, we have someone that has not done penitence. And if he hasn't done penitence, so then he carries with him the kores penalty. So based on your own reasoning of kedei rishoso, there should be no malchus. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. Let us glance at the topic and structural note that we have on the side. Hezberim lama l'Rabbi Akiva, why we're going to try to offer explanations why, according to Rabbi Akiva, davka chayve krisus b'chla malchus v'lo chayve misus bezdin. Why is it only that krisus is included in malchus and not those type of offenses that carry with the penalty of misus bezdin, of court execution? Omar Rabbi Avo, we turn back to the Gemara, b'feirush ribsotera chayve krisus l'malchus. The Torah, in an explicit fashion, includes chayve krisus for malchus. In other words, even though there's a restriction of kedei rishoso, that's not going to apply to chayve krisus because of an explicit inclusion of chayve krisus to the realm of malchus. Degomar li'enei mi le'enecha. We are going to learn the word le'enei, which is a pasuk that appears in the context of krisus, from the topic of malchus, where the word le'enecha appears. And as a result of that, kores is derived from malchus, meaning or indicating that kores will carry with it a penalty of lashing. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We have a trapezoid that appears, and you'll notice in the next few lines that its position flips around. It goes back and forth or up and down. on the side, we've indicated that this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the narrow part of the trapezoid pointing upwards, these represent kushios, questions, nisyonos lahakshos al tshuvosoi shel Rabbi Avo. We're going to attempt to question Rabbi Avo's explanation, and with the narrow portion facing downwards, tshuvos, responses. Maskif lo Rabbi Avo bar Momo, I hochi. If so, that you adopt this word comparison in order to include Croesus for Malchus, Chayve Misos Bezdinami, we can do the same type of limud, the same type of learning, and derive Chayve Misos Bezdin as warranting Malchus as well. Nigmarim, learn them, may ene. This word may ene appears in the context of Misos Bezdin, mi le'enecha, from the le'enecha word which appears in Malchus, thereby establishing that Mises Bezin would also be what would warrant Malchus. So the Gemara answers, Donin le'ene mi le'enecha, that is a legitimate word comparison. V'ein donin me'ene mi le'enecha. Notice with our markings, we've attempted to emphasize the difference in the case of me'ene, which is by Mises Bezin, the word is spelled with a mem at the beginning, and this word by Malchus is spelled with a lamed, le'enecha, indicating they're different words and hence not sufficient similarity to warrant a word comparison. The Gemara asks, so what? So what if the words aren't exactly the same? The Gemara is going to cite an example that appears many places in Shas as the archetype of a gezereshav, of a word comparison, where the words are not alike whatsoever, but the topics are similar. And being that the topics are similar, that's sufficient grounds for making a comparison. The topic that will be alluded to, but we're not going to feature any of the details, has to do with the parsha of Nige Botim, where a discoloration appears on someone's wall and a kohen is brought in to check it out. So the Gemara raises this question, Umay nafka mine, what difference does it make that there is a difference in the words? V'ho tona debei Rabbi Shmuel, v'shov ha-kohen, uvo ha-kohen. The tona debei Rabbi Shmuel teaches that these two psukim in the context of nige botim, v'shov ha-kohen, uvo ha-kohen, teaches me, zuhi shiva, zuhi bia, the rules that apply in one apply in the other. Once again, we're not sharing the details of that particular limud, but the rules and procedures that apply to 1 week apply to the next week as well with regard to the nige botim. So at this point, we still don't understand why Misos Bezin are not included in Malchus, V'od. And furthermore, if you are really concerned about similarity of words, Ligmor, why not learn me'ene, mi le'ene, learn Misos Bezdin from Croesus. We know that by Croesus that there is Malchus for them. Deha gomor li'ene mile'enecha. We find that there's a comparison between those expressions. So we see that there should be sufficient similarity, just like we said that li'ene and le'enecha can be learned one from the other. So me'ene should be able to be derived from le'ene. The Gemara answers, Kiblo mine Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchok. Kiblo mine Rabbi Shmuel Mirav Yitzchok. Kidei, let's go over this for with a more accurate reading, is Kiblo mine Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yitzchok received from one opinion is from Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Rashi shares two opinions as to from whom he received this tradition. One is he received it from Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Another opinion is that Rabbi Shmuel received it from Rabbi Avo. The following: Kidei Rishoso Mishum Risho Achas Ato Mechayvo V'Ato Mechayvo Mishum Shtei Rishoyos. this principle that's taught by the Kedeirish also, Pasuk, that one is guilty of one punishment and not two, that's Berisho HaMasuro LeBeizdin HaKosuf Medaber. That's when the punishments under question or under discussion are punishments that are court ordained, like Misas Beizdin, or we saw money, but Kores is not involved. Hence, Kores doesn't fit under the restriction of Risha Achas, because it's not a Risha HaMesuro LeBeizdin. At this point in the Gemara, we've employed the use of an angular brackets. We have a note that indicates that Acharei HaSograim Elu, after these angular brackets, which are by the length marker that indicates at which point they're closed, you can see by a dotted vertical line that appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, which brings your attention to the bottom line of the Gemara. And at that point, this angular bracket will close. So we note in the note on the side with this where the star appears, Achrei Sagraim Elu Mofia Oid Tshuva L'She'eila Lomar Rabbi Akiva Machayev Malkus Al Kores V'ein Bayo Shel Risho Achas, will be another approach to explain why Rabbi Akiva says that Chayve Krisus could receive Malkus and that there is no problem of Risho Achas. B'socha Sagraim HaGemora, Rava, within the bracketed section, Rava is Magbila, Machlokis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Lehecho de Asrube, Almisus Bezdin, Lamalkus, concerning a case where the offender of a Misos Bezdin type offense was given warning concerning the potential of receiving Malkus. In other words, let's take as an example a Shabbos violator. Shabbos violation results in Misas Bezdin. Let us say the Shabbos violator was warned ahead of time that if you cook or if you strike the match on Shabbos or if you sew a garment or any one of the other 39 Avos Malachos, and he was warned ahead of time that if you do this particular action, you will get Malkos. It's under those circumstances that the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, appears. And by the way, if that were to happen, someone who was about to commit an offense of that warrants Misas Basin, but he didn't hear anything about execution in the warning. All he heard was concerning Malkos. A person like that will not receive court execution whatsoever. Court executions cannot be carried out unless a warning entails that as being the punishment. However, if a one was warned that this action will carry with it a court execution, and there's no mention and that type of warning, there would be no Malkus according to all opinions, including Rabbi Shmuel. With all that having been said, let's now turn to the Gemara at the beginning, at the first wide line, where the brackets begins. Rava Omar, Asru Bey Lekatla, if the offender was warned that he would receive a court execution for that particular offense, Kule Amalo Pligi De'ein Leike Umeis, everyone will agree that he doesn't get lashes in addition to the court execution. Ki Pligi, the Machlokis, the Tanaic controversy between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva arises to Asru Bey Lamalkos, that he received a warning concerning the his warning included only a mention only of Malkos, no mention of court execution. Can the offender receive Malkos all the same? Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Lav Shenitan Lazoras Mises Basin. Notice we've used a phrase marking here so that you read all of those words together. A negative offense that has the potential of execution, loikin olav, there is a possibility of giving Malkus, and that would be if he's warned that for this violation he is going to receive Malkus. Even though we understand that that's not the correct warning, he should be warned that he would receive execution. But that didn't take place. He was warned that he would get lashes for an offense that in theory could carry with it Misas Beis Din. Rabbi Shmuel holds, there is Malkus. Rabbi Akiva Sofar, Rabbi Akiva has a different opinion. He says that these kind of offenses that carry with it a potential for court execution, Lav Shenitan Lazoros Misas Beis Din, Ein Loiken Olov. There's no Malkus for that kind of offense. The Rashi points out, Ein Loiken Olov, Kishehisru Boi Malkus below Misa. If an offense that carries with it court execution, the offender was warned concerning, in his warning, there was mention of lashes alone, without Misa, there cannot be Malkus, even though he was warned about Malkus. Lefi shelo nitan lav zeh, because when the Torah wrote the negative precept, this particular negative precept, this lav is not given lazhoras oinish malkus. It doesn't serve as a Torah indicator of a malkus punishment. Kishar lavin, unlike other negative offenses, when the Torah says, for example, thou shalt not eat pork, the azhora in the Torah, the negative command in the Torah, is a negative command focused on the receipt of malkus. That's because the consumption of pork doesn't carry with it a penalty of execution. Shari hutzruch lazhiro she'im lo kein lo hoya yochol l'chaivo misa. Turning back to the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, we're now going to ask on Rabbi Akiva, if you are to be consistent with what you just said, namely, the lav of a capital offense is designed to serve as an azhora for court execution, where the Torah is informing you through the lav that there would be court execution, that the lav is for that purpose and not to announce Malkos, then ihochi chayvei krisus nami, an offense that carries with it a kores penalty, we should be able to argue the same thing. Lav shenitan lazhoras kores hu. The lav in the Torah surrounding a kores offense. For example, if the Torah says that thou shalt not do melocha on Yom Kippur, or thou shalt not eat on Yom Kippur, even though that's an imagined example, the Torah speaks about inui hanefesh with regard to Yom Kippur, but the incestuous relations where the Torah has a lav, it's presented in a negative, as a negative precept. Why not say that the statement of those offenses in the negative form are designed to serve as an azhora for the kores, and hence not available for malchus? Just like you said that the lavim in Mises Bezdin are focused on the court execution and not available to serve as an azhora for Malkus. Amalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi, Hachi Amar Avimi Mehegronya Mishmei Derava. So Rav Mordechai tells Ravashi that thusly Avimi said in the name of Rava, Chayvei Krisus Lo Tzrichi Azhora. We're using the Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa on this word and reading Azhora. He says that for the Torah to penalize an offender with kores, there is no need for the Torah to use a negative, a verse stated as a negative precept in order to warrant the kores penalty. And we'll prove that because of two examples where we see there is kores. We know there is kores. The pasuk says v'nichrusu, the offender is cut off, and there's no statement in the negative. Shari pesach umila. One who violates and does not bring a Korban Pesach, or one does not receive circumcision, onash, there is a penalty of, there's a kores punishment, afal pi shelo hizir, even though there's no azhora. Of course there's no azhora. These two mitzvos are positive commands, and yet, if they are unfulfilled, they carry with it a kores penalty. From this, we see the basic answer to the question posed to Rabbi Akiva regarding the idea of lav shenitan lazhoras kores is a non-starter, because for Kores there is no need to have the lav. The Gemara in this bracketed section will attempt, and we have a note with accompanied by a star on the side of your Gemara that says as follows: Tam hasagrayim eino l'shem diluk. The brackets that we see here are not for skipping purposes, as we often do with these kind of brackets. Elo laharos shistayim atshuva, rather to show that the basic answer has just been stated. Namely, we prove from Pesach Umila that there is no necessity to have an azhora in order for a kores punishment to be meted out. B'socha sograyim, yesh nisayon lahakshus ala tshuva, avla kushu nidchisa. Within the next few lines that are bracketed, and there's a length indicator that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a dashed, dotted, vertical line. This section is an attempt to ask the hakshus ala tshuva, avol hakushu nidchisa, but the question will be deflected. So let us proceed. V'dilma, maybe in general, the kores penalty does need an azhora, and if that be the case, we would resurrect the problem of a lav shenitan azhoras kores, and as a result of that, we would say then there shouldn't be malchus for that. And if you'll ask, well, what about Pesach Amilah? There's no Azhora. It could be that V'dilma Azhora L'Korbon, that the Azhora that's stated is to warn concerning the need to bring a Korbon if the act is violated. Da Pesach Amilah, the less B'u Azhora, lo Maisi Korbon. We see Pesach Amilah are examples of things that carry with it a kores penalty, but they don't have an azhora, and we know that there is no korban that is brought for one who violates Pesach or Mila. So that it could be that the azhora is to serve as an indicator that the offense carries with it the need to bring a korban if done unintentionally. The Gemara says, Hosam, in the case of Pesach Omila, the reason there is no korban is not because of the lack of azhora. Hosam lav hainu taimo. That's not the reason for their not bringing a korban, elamishum, but rather because the iskish kolatar kulul avidus kechovim. In order to determine whether a type of offense carries with it the need to bring a korban when done unintentionally, it must be comparable to the offense of idolatry in the following sense. Ma avodas kechovim shev v'al taaseh, just like the fulfillment of that negative precept of avodas kechovim is done through inaction. In other words, one remains seated and does not worship. That's the way you're mekayim the mitzvah concerning avodah zarah. Af kol shev v'al taaseh. So too, let us point out that avodas kechovim, when done unintentionally, carries with it an obligation to bring a korban. So too, as we said before, all other offenses are compared to avodas kechovim, that they are also to be categorized by non-action. In other words, the fulfillment of those particular mitzvos will be by non-action. Don't do malacha on Yom Kippur, for example. Don't eat chalev. So by not eating, by inaction, one is fulfilling the Torah's intent. And hence, when violated, they are violated by an action. And as a result of that, they bring a korban, because that is parallel to avodas kechovim. One serves an idol. That's an action. Lafukehani, to the exclusion of Pesach Amilah, that their fulfillment is not through inaction, but dekumase. Their fulfillment is through action. Do the circumcision. Bring the Korban Pesach. So after all is said and done, Pesach and Mila, we know, have kores, even though there is no azhora. So from here we see, let us just go over that point. The suggestion was that the Azhara, in the context of the Chayvei Krisus, serve the purpose of bringing a korban. The Gemara said, no, that's not the role of the Azhara, because we see that Pesach and Milah, they, the reason for their not bringing korbanos is because they're not parallel to Avodas Kechavim. But to suggest that the Azhara in the Torah is written for the Kores penalty, that's not the case, because Pesach and Milah don't have any Azhara written by them. And as we said, their lack of Azhara is not to reveal that they don't bring a korban, but their lack of Azhara shows us that Kores does not need an Azhara posuk. Therefore, what is the reason that Azhoras appear in the context of all the other Chayvei Krisus? That tells me that there is Malkus, that the Kore, that the Azhara written by Chayvei Krisus is a lav that serves as an Azhara that would enable us to give Malkus. And that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Ravina Omar, since we have a triangle, this draws our attention to what the role of Ravina is. These are an additional hesper as to why Rabbi Akiva says that only Chayvei Krisus would receive Malkus and not Chayvei Mises Bezdin. So Ravina says, the Olam Kidamrinon Meikara, like we said originally, Shem Osu Tshuva Bezdin Shelmalo Moichalin Lahen. If the offender of the Kores were to do penitence, he would be absolved from the Kores penalty, and hence there is no problem of more than one risha, of more than one punishment. It is risha achas velo shtei rishayos. My Amris, what might you say in objection to this? Ha lo avud tshuva, but right now he hasn't done tshuva, and therefore there still is kares, and therefore there's still shtei rishayos. So why is it that Rabbi Kiva is willing to give him Malkos? The answer to that is lo psika milsa l'kores. It's the nature of such an offense is such that it's not an absolute. It's an offense that is not an absolute to receive kores. And since he's not a vadai in receiving kores, Malkus is still deemed as a risha achas. And hence, Rabbi Kiva says, Chayvei Krisus could receive Malkus. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.